Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your entrepreneurial peers on the journey of self-leadership mastery and life success. Reinvent or evolve yourself as you redesign your business. Dual innovation. Take charge of who you next become. Feel more deeply to think, act, lead, and mentor more clearly and more effectively. Learn something new from our conversation today.
It's so much fun, Nancy. You're just helping me recollect things from my past that have, you know, created were traumatic at times. But, I'm just so excited about our next segment. I think I've got some background there that I haven't even shared with you, but I think we'll both find it fun and rewarding.
Welcome to We Mentor Mondays. I'm Nancy. We are so excited. I'm excited. I hope you're excited to have a fourth conversation with Jim Kahn. We got so into our discussion about emotional intelligence and business acumen and kind of learning about an open book type of management that we thought we wanted to give you enough of the details. And Jim wanted to share those so that you could really kind of have an understanding and get a picture of where he was at in his life and kind of how that open book management worked for them and how it helped with the employee accountability. And it might give you ideas to inspire you to develop a good tracking system to help employees be really connected with the work that you're producing in your business. And so today, we're going to talk further about emotional intelligence and business acumen. And to give you a little bit of a definition, as Jim was figuring out his next career step, the psychologist Daniel Goleman came out with an international best-selling book called Emotional Intelligence. And since then, he has written 10 other books, including Emotional Intelligence in the Workplace. There's been over 200 studies that have been done on emotional intelligence. And a few years later, in 1998, the field of positive psychology was developed. Positive psychology is the scientific study of what makes life most worth living. I really like this new field because it focuses on, instead of, you know, what's wrong with you, what's right with you, and what can work better for you in your life. Emotional intelligence is the ability to identify, use, understand, and manage emotions in positive ways to relieve stress, communicate effectively, empathize with others, overcome challenges, and diffuse conflict. Daniel Goleman also explains that emotional intelligence consists of four fundamental capabilities: self-awareness and self-management, which I think we're being taught about more now in 2020, 2021, than we have been, you know, any other decade prior. So self-awareness, self-management, social awareness, and social skills, they're all really important in really having deep, meaningful relationships with other people. Jim has mentioned that he's really been working at self-awareness and self-management because of his entrepreneurial sales background. He really developed a lot of social awareness and social skills. So with a respectful sales personality inherited from his father, Jim Kahn began his professional business career in 1973 as a salesman for Wood & Kahn Company. Educated as a mechanical engineer by the University of Minnesota, Jim arrived on the business scene with abounding enthusiasm but little business sense. Over the next 40 years, Jim encountered numerous reverses, and you've been hearing about those in business, that many times took him to his knees but never broke his spirit. Jim estimates that he has directly hired over 300 individuals during the course of his career. Jim had a knack for identifying gifted youngsters who had the talent to succeed in the mostly technical businesses that he either owned or managed. His greatest pride and accomplishment was not just the hiring of talented individuals, but the hundreds, if not thousands, of years of lifetime employment created for all of those individuals at all of those businesses. And so in his last business venture, he worked within a Norwest venture capital management company. And he moved on from there. So the call to buy into another venture seemed really, really appealing to you, Jim, at the end of the 90s.
Yeah.
Welcome to the program, by the way. Thanks for being here again.
Absolutely. Happy to be there, Nancy. Thank you.
Good.
Yeah. Well, when I left the venture capital company, StreamFader was the business we owned. I'd had a pretty significant upside, and I really didn't have to work for a few years. And so my parents were aging at that time, and as the oldest of six, I felt duty bound to help them manage their estate as they became frail and elderly. So in doing so, with that obligation of mine, we bought a cabin in Alexandria, and then ended up building a year-round home. During that period of time, I didn't have to work, and piloting and flying airplanes have always been something that's come naturally to me and that I've always enjoyed. And so I ended up picking up several contract jobs during that period of time, flying around the country and attending to my aging parents.
How was this period of life for you?
I'm sorry.
How was this period of life for you at this stage?
You know, there was something missing. Because I've always had that entrepreneurial spirit, that need and the want to be engaged in a business environment, and that was missing or that was lacking. But you know, it was a comfortable life. We'd put together a new home, and we really didn't have any. The kids had grown up, and we were empty nesters by that time. So life was pretty good.
Okay. And what was the relationship with Anita was going well. What was the relationship like with Lori, Brian, and Jackie?
Well, the girls had pretty much put their lives together. Lori had graduated from college and was doing extremely well in her entrepreneurial perspective. She's always been an entrepreneur, and you know, I oftentimes say a chip off the old block, which I, you know, believe to be true. My daughter Jackie went in a different direction. She became a registered nurse. In fact, she's working out in San Francisco right now. Has got a very significant job of high responsibility with everything that's going on in the COVID world today. So very proud of her. But my son and I had never really connected, And Brian, I kind of, as much as I think we wanted to get together and be together, we grew apart, and that was kind of a sad part of my life.
Mm. Okay. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later.
Yeah.
Okay.
You bet.
All right.
Yeah.
And so the call to buy into another venture.
Yeah, this was really interesting.
I'm sorry, I interrupted. Go ahead.
No, dude, you interrupt because sometimes I go down a rabbit hole and you got to pull me back.
Okay, so 6 years into this kind of lifestyle, something changed. What was it?
And what changed is I have become a SCORE counselor. And I, for your listeners who don't know what SCORE is, it's a wonderful service sponsored by the Small Business Administration. And when small businesses are struggling with anything, the kinds of things you and I are talking about, financial things, they can go online. I think it's score.org. Very, very simple, www.score.org. And there's a group of volunteers all over the United States that consult at no charge to small businesses to try to take their business acumen that they've learned over a lifetime that we're all typically required. And so I became SCORE counselor, and was really, really enjoying that. The one, you know, just an aside, the thing I enjoy about Score Counseling is that we always mentor young new business owners, people that want to start a business as a group. There's usually three or four of us that come together. And what's so fun for me is one of my other Score counselors will say something that triggers something that I hadn't thought about for years that ends up being helpful for the people we're counseling. So I'll just back away from that. But the reason the story came out is I met a gentleman who happens to have worked for 3M company for 33 years. He was a graduate of, I'm going to say it wrong, St. Augustine College in Twin Cities. I'm not saying that right. Anyway, Ron, the last 11 years of his career, he was the VP of finance for 3M. He used to jet all over the world acquiring businesses for 3M. Ron had retired at a cabin up here in Alexandria. I got together with him through SCORE, and he decided he wanted to get into a small business. He wanted to see he didn't want to see the side of the world from big business anymore, which was 3M. He wanted to see small business. And so we started talking about buying a business, the two of us. And we talked for about a year, and finally something popped up. It was a little bit bigger than we'd been talking about with a few more individuals, but we ended up buying a little company in Glenwood, Minnesota called Thawzall.
Thawzall? Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Thawzall was in the business. We bought that business in 2007. It was a $5 million a year business. There were five of us. We were 20% partners. I was the managing partner, and it was a nice little company that we had purchased from an inventor, although I'm not sure we had any patents, just the developer of the company, and we wanted to take it to the next level. It was heavily involved in the construction industry. It was a heat machine that allowed contractors to work right on through the winter, pouring concrete and building homes, and that was in 2007.
And then what happened?
In 2008, I can't remember what we called it, but there was a huge, the banks had become over leveraged. They'd been lending money to people to buy homes who couldn't afford to service the mortgage and everything.
The real estate market crashed.
The real estate market crashed. In our business, and here I was just going to come into this little business with all the things that I had learned and all the smarts that I had, and just kind of pull some levers and do a good job for my partners and make some more money, and then fade off into the sunset. Well, the first year of $5 million business, well, I remember at the end of the year, one of my partners came to me and said, "Wow, Jim, good job. You've really done a nice job bringing this business." And I said, "Tom, just wait until we're done with the second year when I've had some influence on the business, and then come to me and tell me what you think." Well, the next year it dropped in half to about $2.5 million. And then the third year we went to $1.8 million. So the partners that fortunately they all had deep pockets, and I might have deeper pockets than mine. And so what we had a $2 million line of credit with Bremer Bank. And the first year that this happened, Bremer cut our revolving line of credit in half to $1 million, which wasn't enough for us to build inventory, because we had a very intense short cash flow season, about 3 months out of the year in the winter. And then we had to borrow money to build machines through the rest of the year. So we had gone into the business, each of us, I think, with $50,000. And so Ron, the gentleman who was the VP of finance for 3M, came to the group. Brett, one of the brightest financial guys I've ever known in my life, came to us and said, "Guys, we got to pony up. We can't get any more money from the bank." So we all kicked in $50,000. Well, this continued on through the next year. Mm-hmm. "Guys, we need another $50,000. Guys, another 50. So we were up to 200,000 each. in terms of investment in the business. And Ron came one day and said, guys, we got to kick it up again, another 50, up to 250. And I said, guys, I can't run with the big dogs anymore. I simply cannot. And we had a buy-sell agreement in place. Ron had insisted that we do that. And so it was really interesting when I computed the buy-sell agreement. I had put $200,000 into the company to keep it going along with the others. The computation on my buyout was $201,000.
Oh, huh. So kind of just a cash wash.
Cash wash, but I had been paid a salary for almost four, almost going on 5 years. And I had to look at that as a interest on the investment that I'd made in the business. So the guys didn't want me to leave, but now I'm getting a little long in the tooth, and some of this stuff wasn't fun anymore.
Yeah.
Losing money, but we repositioned the business. I have to say that I helped do that in the petroleum industry, where they wanted to work through the winter and needed heat machines. And so while I was there, we turned the company around. We started heading in the right direction, and I decided that it was just time to take a breather and move on. And I think you know that I had expressed some interest in buying an aviation business. As well, like a little company that build manufactured heaters for airplanes.
Oh, yeah. So that's where you landed, huh?
Well, yeah. Actually, I worked out a deal where I would work 6 months at Thawzall and then start working part time at this little aviation company, which was in. They were both in Glenwood, Minnesota. So at the end of 6 months, I went over there full time as the business, nominally the business development manager, but really I'd had a handshake agreement with the gentleman to buy the business. But based on the financial reverses at Thawzall, where I really didn't make a lot of money, I didn't have enough money to invest in the business to buy the aviation company from the owner. And I wasn't about to go at 70 years old to go into debt to buy a new business. So at that point in time, my entrepreneurial career kind of started to coming to a natural close.
Okay. And how are you feeling about that?
You know, okay. I felt bad that it gets back to one of the early lessons that I had learned, Nancy, that I had forgotten. It's much more important to be in the right marketplace or in the right business than it is how well you manage it. I had all the management skills by then, but I couldn't prevent Thawzall from tanking in the construction industry when the whole housing market collapsed. So that was, it was kind of bittersweet. I'd learned that lesson early on in the farm equipment business many, many years ago, but here I found myself repeating it, being involved in a company that all of a sudden was not positioned in the right market to be.
Yeah, right. Another downturn too, and in a different industry. So what have you been up to since then?
Well, as I said, airplanes, talking to my friend Dick Harper quite a bit from time to time, and airplanes have always been an important part of my life. Whenever I got in an airplane, it wasn't a buzz around. It was to go on a mission. I always had to have a mission. And so I started searching for a mission here locally, and I joined a club, and the mission became my wife and I flying across country to visit our daughter in California, friends in Florida, and that wasn't quite enough. So I formed a partnership with another gentleman in just a beautiful airplane. It's called a Cessna Cardinal, and I joined two volunteer groups. One of them is called Lifeline Pilots, and the other is called Angel Flight Central. And what these volunteer groups do is we have a mission. Again, this mission is important, where we'll fly people needing medical attention that are unable to travel. They have to be ambulatory, but it's free flights. As an example, Wednesday, I'm picking up a lady who has cancer, who's being treated in Mankato. I'll pick her up Wednesday morning, fly her down to Mankato, wait for her, have her appointment, and then fly her home. And this was all done at no charge to the patient. They just need to have that kind of help. So it's very gratifying. It's very rewarding. I have a mission and an excuse to go flying.
Yeah, it's good to have a mission. And then you're still with the Service Corps of Retired Executives Corps.
Oh, yes. Yes, I think we have a session tomorrow, as a matter of fact.
That's good. And you and Anita and your two girls had a tragic loss of Brian in 2017. Would you like to talk a little bit about what happened and how you're living through his loss?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. When my son Brian was into drugs and alcohol, and we spent just a lot of effort and some money, you know, to try to bring him around. We put him in counseling, and this started fairly early on in his young age, and somehow we were never able to break that chain. We had him. He was very enthused. We had him scheduled for. I went to St. John's, and one of the St. John's graduates has put together a remarkable company in the cities, and we had him scheduled to go there. And unfortunately, he had overdosed on opioids, and I don't remember the exact names. And his mother found him stone cold dead in his house in Minneapolis when she went down to check on him.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, at age 42. Did he have other family? Was he married or had kids?
No.
Okay.
He had a lot of friends. I would call him a social entrepreneur. He ran food trucks to help people in the poorer sections of the Twin Cities, and just an engaging guy from a social standpoint, wanting to help anybody and everybody he could.
Yeah, and Lori had mentioned, too, that he was just a really great chef, like Anita.
Yes, Yeah.
Well, I'm very sorry.
Nancy.
It's really hard.
Yeah, and you think back, and, you know, absolutely, I'm at my age and no entrepreneurial pursuits at this point. I have time to reflect more, and I often reflect on the fact that if I could have changed anything in my life, it would have been to be a better father to Brian and have developed more of an emotional connection with him than I did.
Mm. All right. Well, and you can, like I talked about, you recognize the truth in the hard mm-hmm. truth, and you face the truth, and also making sure that you're nurturing yourself with that truth. Because it's hard to swallow. So we can kind of close where we started with your resiliency and ability to both emotionally and financially take risks, but also you're incredibly able to bring forth the lessons that you learned in each different venture. And I think that's part of what made it kind of exciting for you. So you have four big lessons that you wanted to pass on or takeaways from your entrepreneurial career. Your first lesson you had written to me is that everybody needs a mentor, especially when times are tough.
Yeah, and I always thought I was bright enough, smart enough, and strong enough never to need a mentor. So I never went out, and when I had some of those business reverses and those issues, proactively reaching out. In retrospect, I certainly had mentors. I had Dave Wood, although I didn't know it at the time. My friend Dick Harper certainly had turned out to be a mentor and an unbelievable support person. But I just encourage everybody, you know, if you run into business reverses or business issues or you're really struggling, there's so much help out there. The SCORE that I mentioned is a good go-to thing, but don't hesitate. I did very well financially in business, and put together a comfortable lifestyle in my retirement. But frankly, I think if I had been able to have a good mentor manage some of my emotional difficulties, I would have probably been a whole lot richer than I am today from a financial standpoint, but we're just fine.
Well, and also from an emotional standpoint, your level of connection with everybody. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I have just an aside. So how are you supporting Lori in her entrepreneurial career?
Well, you know, early on, she was in a program at high school. DECA, I believe it's called. And she asked me to, help her with a DECA presentation and create a scenario. And I did, and I always wondered if I had created that scenario with too much difficulty, but she came through that with flying colors, won an award, and I've always tried to be there for her when she's quite an entrepreneur, and so I've never tried to put my face in her business, but whenever she asks me something, I try to come up with a supportive and respectful answer.
Okay, that's nice. And your second lesson said, one of your four big ones is what one needs to incorporate is not only business acumen, but also emotional intelligence.
Yeah. And Nancy, at my age, of course, I've had an opportunity to reflect a lot. One of my drivers that I learned from my friend Dick Harper, I've been a reflect much more. And reflecting back, I probably have said it a little poorly just a moment earlier, but I just wish I had taken the time and had the emotional. I've always been a ready, fire, aim type of person, and at my age now, it's I really now reflect and think more about let me just say that a little bit different. The thought escapes me right now. I can come back to it, but
it'll probably be tied to the third lesson, which is be retrospective in your early business life, even if it hurts. So, would you take the time? To sort through those pieces of your life that are working and not working, to understand them.
Yeah, help yourself understand them. Better. I understood all the technical aspects of being in a business, and I learned the hard way. Some of them learned financial the hard way, but I never took the time to learn the emotional aspects of being in business. And it's only in my later life today and visiting with you in the last few years where I've had a chance to reflect back and realize how much more successful I could have been if I hadn't been able to or understood how to invest the energy in being a better emotional, self-prepared individual to be in business.
Sure. Thank you for that. And the fourth one is you have false, in quotations, pride in business is dangerous.
Yeah. I can honestly say I don't think I've ever had a big raging ego, but I always had a fair amount of pride in what we were accomplishing and what we were doing, and I would always look forward and probably never anticipate that there could be downturns. So there's that expression, pride goes before a fall, and when we were doing well, I never saw those markers that suggested maybe we're going to have some downturns here due to the market or whatever things that were happening in business.
Yeah. And I think that entrepreneurs are like the rosy-eyed glasses. They like to spend most of their time both in the present and in the future. And mm-hmm. so that's why looking at last year's financials is like torture, but that's really the window to understand our trajectory and our future. And mm-hmm. I think having other people around us who can say and listen to the other perspective, well, here's the downside of what could possibly happen. Maybe we just sort out, think through what that might be so that, mm-hmm. You can prepare yourself. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think that that is really an incredible lesson for every entrepreneur to really master, is to circle yourself with people who can help you look at the other side of the coin. Is there anything else you would like to share before we finish out our delightful fourth conversation?
Well, gosh, Nancy, I think we've certainly covered a lot of ground. It's been sure been enjoyable for me visiting with you, and you've given me a chance to recollect and reflect on many years of business, many good times, a few downtimes that were a little bit tough, but all in all, just a wonderful business career.
Yeah. Oh, that's great to hear. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you've always seemed to land on your feet, and I hope you just keep growing individually as a person and share yourself as you continue onward for the rest of your journey.
Thank you, Nancy. I've loved being an entrepreneur, and I'm tickled to death that you're putting this program to people, and I hope there are many more that are going to tune in as time goes on.
Great. All right. And thanks, Mike Cabea, sound engineer, videographer, photographer, mon frère de notre mère, brother from another mother. We'll see you all next week. Do you want to build upon your leadership skills and become more effective as a business owner? Do you want to evolve yourself as you redesign your business? This is a dual innovation process. We've been doing this kind of work since 1992, helping small business owners and emerging entrepreneurial leaders with self-leadership mastery, business ownership success, and that leads to life success. We focus on the dual innovation journey of reinventing yourself as you redesign your business. We do this with one-on-one strategic mentoring sessions. We have several types of labs that you can participate in with your other peers. Both our entrepreneurial leadership and mentoring lab, which you can really get into the crux of how to run your business more effectively and become more competent. We have meaningful conversations that help with developing a culture that will work for you. I do weekly meditation and yoga that you can participate in to evolve yourself as you redesign your business. You can also sponsor this podcast. We're always looking for people to support our programming, build out our programming with us, and I especially love promoting you. You can get involved in all those different areas because when we mentor, you design a better life, a more fulfilling future as an entrepreneurial leader / innovator, as a competent business owner / practitioner, as a mentor / role model, and as a human being and master of self. Every client starts with a desire to shift something, clarify something, overcome challenges, grow profitability. We started with one entrepreneur. We've mentored thousands. We're ready to work with you. When you show up, we're here. So to get started, go to wementor.com. You can also call me at 612-804-8920, or you can reach me through email, nancy@wementor.com. Get ready and take the next step today.